planning to leave on the 5th of February, and if it leaves on the 5th of February, then we need to leave on the 6th of February, which is the day before our commissioning service. Oh, what? Yes. Well, okay, then 8th then. But we need to leave the woods because we need to be at the other end to catch it when it lands, or else it costs you like $500 a day or something like this while it sits on the docks and everything. But that's where we're at, just in case you're all wondering. And we are shipping a container, so if you have any boxes, do not give them to me. Do not offer them to me. Do not say you have anything for me, unless they're Bible or pigeon tracks. And then I'll be free to take pigeon tracks and lots of Bibles if you've got Bibles, because we're going to be pretty full. We're actually moving overseas and to a third world country, and it's pretty exciting. And if you want to take your Bibles, open up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and please we go, because we're going into a battle over in New Guinea. Some of you guys have been there and you know what it's like. It's a fair bit different to living here in Australia. And you might have heard a bit about the camp and different trips that we've had over to New Guinea and heard different stories. But if you got your Bible there, open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'll read verse. It says, "Find and pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So please pray for us. It's really, do pray for us, and prayer works. Don't go, "Oh wow, God answered our prayers." You shouldn't really be surprised that He answers our prayers, because God answers our prayers, you know. And He's faithful and He's just, and we know these things about God. And pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. In New Guinea at the moment, there is great liberty to be able to preach. Preach in the markets, preach in town, sit in your car at the servo and get mobbed handing out tracts. That's a pretty strange experience. We were sitting there at the servo and everyone crowded around in this. I couldn't leave. There was too many people all around us. And there's a great big opportunity there to be able to preach and to go into different villages and markets and towns and preach and minister to people. It's unreal. But the door is closing. It is closing. It's been open for a long time, and you've always heard that it's probably been open. It is closing. And if why? I reckon it's because of Facebook. Facebook. No. But media and New Guinea, it's changing. It's changing, and people are watching heaps of movies and music, and they're becoming real westernized, and everyone carries phones. It's crazy out there. But it is changing. So pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Still go out into villages and to be able to preach and be glorified even as it is with you. You know, that's the aim of us going out there into New Guinea, that we can go out to different places and preach out in these markets and in these villages and in these roundhouses and things like this. And verse 2 particularly, where it says, "And that we may be from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." We know that not everybody has faith, don't we? And that there is some unreasonable and wicked men in this world. And when you pray for us, just as an example here, when we were having camp and you heard about that big fight that started up out there, I've never seen anything like that before. That was actually quite scary. You know, there was at least 500, 600, 700 people all standing in a field shooting bows and arrows at each other, holding sheets of tin that they pulled off their roof. They don't nail them down, they just put rocks on them so they don't fall off, an easy shield. And running, you've got 10 guys hiding behind shields like this. And they were unreasonable. Absolutely unreasonable men. There was another night when we were out there, and there was these two guys yelling at each other across the street. This guy, his name was Ken, and he was a big, tall guy, and he had a hand like this. He couldn't close his hand. He had been attacked and in his hand. So when he shook his hand, it was like shaking a hand like this, like a... And this guy was out of control this one night, and he had his bodyguards all around him, and he used to carry a big meter-long machete. You know, the guys that are scared because they carry a meter-long machete? They're not that handy for gardening, they're mainly for self-defense. And he always had his posse around him and all these guys, and he's screaming at one road, and the other guy's over there with his bows and arrows, and his guy's over there, and they're all screaming at each other. And they were unreasonable men. They were going to kill each other. And they're like, I'm going to kill you. And they're like, I'm going to kill you. It's like, well, I'm going to kill you first. And I'm like, well, I'm going to kill you before you kill me. And it was going on like this. And we went out to see these guys, and we're like going, hey, guys, calm down. And they had this crazed look in their eyes. I like these guys when they're in the fight that time. He's like, calm down, these guys. And they're just out of control. And this guy with his hand like this and his big meter-long machete, and I'm looking up to him like, oh, man, settle down. And he looked at me with these really scary looking eyes. Hey, that was scary. I was actually scared of this guy. I thought, man, I'm going to move away and get my head cut off. I'm serious. This guy was scary. And I went, the other guy across the street, NK, he was my friend. So I'm like, well, I can go talk to this guy, but this guy I don't really know, but this guy, he's not going to hurt me. So I'm like, well, Ken, settle down, you know. And Dave was over there, and I'm like, oh. Okay, and I went over here. I'm talking to Ken. And you know what this was about? He took the tap. He took the tap, you know, off the middle of the village so they could have water. He took the tap. Hey, these guys were well, that was just the tip of the iceberg, you know. They were already hating each other, already enemies and going to kill each other. But these guys were unreasonable. You couldn't reason with them. Like those guys in that fight, and they prayer letter pretty quick. I said to Sarah, I said, always send out a prayer letter and get people praying because there's a fight gone out. And pray that we can be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. If that fight went on, we wouldn't have been able to have camp. You know, they would have shut the road down, people would have been killed, and we wouldn't be able to have camp. And so through people praying, this fight stopped. And that was a miracle in itself. And they said, we'll stop for a week so you guys can have camp. A temporary ceasefire. You guys can have camp and we'll start fighting again after a week. It's like, well, okay, thanks. We'll take what we can. But through people praying. People were praying. That was a serious situation. That was like, man, you've heard the story. I'm not sure what I've told people or not. I was there helping Julie cut off a broken spear tip out of this guy's face, and this guy had one in his neck, and it was full on. And so pray that the word of the Lord. See, we were wondering what to do, and Julie's going, oh, should we ring up all these pastors and say, don't send your campers down to us or up to us? You know, there's a fight on the road. You know, all these pastors would be spewing. You know, imagine if you had your camp on here and there was a fight on the Gillies Highway, and you're like, yeah, everyone just keep coming through the fight. It doesn't matter, you know, because they'd get robbed and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so, what to do? And the fight, and we didn't know. We couldn't really stop because people are already on the road and everything like this. But we were praying, and people were praying, and the fight stopped, so we were delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. We also had issues with the water. They decided to put an extra 10,000 kina bill on the water rates for Julie and the station. So that's like $5,000. And they said, well, you need to put, we're going to charge you more for this water. And we're like, well, we can't. And the water was really dry. We were in drought in New Guinea, and we had to get water from across the way. And then we had to negotiate and all these kinds of things. You need to pray for these things. But through the prayer, we were able to have the camp. And that was a big blessing. And there was a big opportunity there to be able to preach. To be able to preach to, how many people was there? 570 campers all in one go. You know, there was over 600 people on the station. Awesome opportunity there to be able to preach and for people to get saved. You know, campers called on the Lord. It was awesome. So please keep praying for us that we can be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, not only rascals and things. Return over to 2 Peter chapter 2. The two, another bunch of unreasonable and wicked men, are false prophets. You ever heard of false prophets? I was thinking about what Pastor preached on this morning about the doctrine of Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit about Christ. Isn't it good talking about Christ? But false prophets are ones that teach things that are... That's pretty obvious, isn't it? So you get these people and they mix the religion up just enough so it sounds pretty good, but it's not quite right, isn't it? It sounds good, but it's just not quite all there. It's not quite all there. And they'll do these things. Let's read 2 verse 1. It says, little magic, and they're running around, you know, chanting and calling up the spirits to come and fight with them. It's a mess. That's a mess. I've seen that. That is full on. They're bringing in damnable heresies. They are telling people not to go. How many times people have preached against Brother Dave? Don't you go and see them. Don't you go listen to Dave. Don't you go down there on the station. Oh man, they're all there. These false prophets, these false doctrines, they're around everywhere. They're here in Australia. And look what God did. Have a look at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness unto judgment. God didn't even spare the angels that sinned. And verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Man, this world is a mess. It was a mess back then, it is a mess now, isn't it? These false teachers, these false religions, these false cults, preaching damnable heresies, leading people away. And verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. You know, we've got these things as an example. Remember, hey, God didn't even spare the angels that sinned. He didn't even spare the old world, the old cities that were so far in sin, God destroyed them. And God's going to destroy this world too. Hey, it's all going to burn up in the end, isn't it? You read about it in Revelation. The tribulation, everything that's going to go on, it's going to be bad. Watch out for prophets and false teachers. And they're everywhere. And pray for us. Pray for each other. Because you're going to run into false prophets at work. I ran into this guy at work, and do you know what he was at church for? He was in church for years, he told me. I was talking to this guy. He said, I used to be in a Bible study group, and I was going for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, he might have said. I was there for one girl. He was there for one girl. Hey, what a cheek. Hey, he's not the only one. Man, false teachers, false prophets. I was in a church and they used to teach creation by evolution. They didn't like the creation because God created light before he created the sun, and that didn't make any sense, and that's just not logical. So I'm not going to believe in the six-day creation. Well, there's a damnable heresy, isn't it? That's the church we're in. We spent a number of years in this church. They didn't believe in the rapture. They didn't believe in the tribulation either. Have a look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 is a really good chapter. The whole book of 1 John is really good, actually. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many are gone into the world. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Check it out.
That's right.
Check it out. Know what the Bible says. Verse 2, it says, Hereby know we the Spirit of God. It says this is how we can know the Spirit of God. You know, you might go to a church. Have you ever gone to a church? This real funny feeling. It's like, man, what that guy said just doesn't sound right. Like that testimony of that guy, you know, the Mormons or whatever, J-Dubs, came to his house. He wasn't even a Christian. He said, that just doesn't sound right. If something doesn't sound right, check it out. Here's how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is the Son of flesh, oh wait a minute, came in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You can test, see what they say about Christ. Do they say he came? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was alive, fully God, fully man, lived on earth, died for our sins, didn't switcheroo with Judas, faint or anything like this, died. Hey, those Romans knew how to kill people. Buried. He was dead for 3 days and rose again from the grave and walked around, seen by over 500 people at once, his disciples, they all saw him, and ascended up into heaven. If they don't say that, be careful. Watch out what they're saying. Bringing in damnable heresies. Jesus didn't raise from the grave. Or what do they say? Just tell everyone that the disciples came and stole his body, we'll pay you off. Don't they still say that? Oh, it's not new. Hey, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for unreasonable, wicked men. But think about what Christ has done and be mindful of what he's done. You know, we're going to have communion, and while we're thinking about Christ, think about it. What he has done for us. Hey, that's God who came down. God who we hated, who saved us. While we were enemies, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to lie. While we were enemies, while we were afar off, he came. He can't even look at sin. The wages of sin is death. And he steps down and goes, hey, I love you. Come unto me. Hey, what a good God, eh? Come unto me. The blood that was shed, without of blood there is no remission of sins. It had to be done. Without death, we couldn't do it. We can't do it on our own. Only God can do it. So think about what Christ has done for us. That's huge, isn't it? Forgiveness for our sins. Have you been forgiven? Are you saved? Trust in the Lord if you're not. Come to know the Lord. Get saved. Call on him. Trust in him. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven. Not all roads get there. There's a narrow way, and the rest is a broad way which leads to destruction. Hey, and that's real. And that's what the Bible says. There is only one way. And make sure you're saved, because it also says not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. Isn't that a scary thought? Imagine thinking you were saved and then finding out at the last minute that you weren't. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? Didn't we preach? Didn't we teach? Didn't I cast out evil spirits? Oh, man, sorry, I never knew you. Oh, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. Don't go away tonight without making sure you're saved. Today's the day. Try the spirits. Know what Christ has done. Know who he is. Know him. And then you'll know when someone says something wrong. Ah, that's not right. That's not what the Bible says. And you can pick it.